All right, everybody, welcome back to Bio Bros episode 17. This time we're doing another genus spotlight on Pituophis. This is gopher snakes, bull snakes, pine snakes. I've heard some people call them blow snakes as well. All those kind of dudes. If you're from North America, you've probably seen them at some point or heard of them. Especially near me, they are commonly called, "Is this a rattlesnake?" Every single time somebody posts on a Facebook group about "Is this a rattlesnake?" it is always a Sonoran gopher snake, which is in the genus Pituophis, specifically Pituophis cantinifer, subspecies affinis. So this one is going to be a big one for Alex. He knows all about these. They're super cool. And we'll get going.
Yeah, I actually for a short little bit had a black pine. They're called black pine snakes now. When I got it was called a Louisiana black pine snake, but that being Pituophis melana, I'm blanking on the name. Meludia, Melu, why am I blanking so much? Pituophis melanolucus, subspecies Lodini. Which mine was every bit of the attitude you would expect from a Pituophis, and none of the good. So she went off to a better place with a guy who likes snakes like that, who have that kind of attitude. He's actually up in West Virginia. He's a professor at a college up there teaching zoology, which was pretty cool. But they are known for their attitude. A lot of times, bull snakes, they are also known for bluffing. And a lot of times, bull snakes and pine snakes and gopher snakes, all the Pituophis in general, they will basically scream at you, because their hiss is so loud, because they have a modified epiglottis, so it allows them to hiss even louder. They'll have one of the loudest hisses of, I think, the North American snakes that I know of, at least.
Yeah, they're really loud. They let you know for sure. Every single one I've came across in the wild has hissed at me. Every one of them. Only one of them's actually tried to bite me, but they let you know. And it is pretty scary. They'll fool you.
Oh yeah, and they a lot of times too. They'll do a mock strike where they won't actually even try and bite. They just freaking throw their head at you, basically, and it makes you think, "Oh, he tried to bite me." And I'm not saying, obviously, you notice those kind of things, but so I'm not saying he didn't try to bite you, but that a lot of times it is just a mock strike. When it comes to Pituophis, but a little information about them. They are endemic to North America, meaning you will not find a species, or you will not find any snake in the genus Pituophis anywhere other than Mexico, North or U.S. and Canada. The only places you will find them, nowhere else in the world are they native to. Just about every part of the country, being the U.S., has some type of native Pituophis. Like even out here on the East Coast, here in North Carolina, we have the northern pine snake or Pituophis melanolucus. And I know Shaw, you have the is it the Sonoras?
Yeah, Sonorans are by far the most common here. I know a couple of other subspecies that blend together out here a
Yeah.
lot into California, so you don't always know exactly which one you got because hybridization occurs too. But it really solid bet that it would be the Affinis or the Sonoran gopher snakes. They're dime a dozen out here.
Yeah, that's the other thing with Pituophis. A lot of times when you are finding different species, like the northern Pituophis versus, which is like the northern pine snake versus the Florida pine snake, two different subspecies, both are still Pituophis melanolucus, but the northerns are melanolucus their subspecies Melanolucus. The Florida's, I don't remember what their subspecies is, but they look similar, two different subspecies. Sean and I were talking about this before the episode, but we'd be willing to bet that a lot of these subspecies of Pituophis really are just one species, and they just have slight variation.
Yeah, especially in Cantenifer, I feel like a few of these don't necessarily need a distinction on them, and they're just slight genetic variants based off of where they live. Some of them 100% deserve to be subspecies and potentially even new species in their own right, entirely separate, but some of these are very, very close, and natural hybridization occurs, especially within the subspecies, because they are the same species, so of course they can hybridize. So you kind of get in those in-between ranges of them, lots of hybrids. The other thing these guys like to do, in general for the genus, not every single species, but most of them, like to mimic rattlesnakes, because they're from North America. We got lots of rattlesnakes in North America. So they like to mimic rattlesnakes. They'll flatten their heads out to make it look like they've got that wider, triangular head that rattlesnakes have. They'll even rattle their tail against themselves or just the ground and leaves and things as if they're rattling. And they do pretty good at it. They really will try to convince you that they're a rattlesnake. Their patterns are similar to rattlesnakes. If you look at the rattlesnakes in your area and then the native Pituophis in your area, assuming you're in North America, they're going to be fairly similar. So they really do give it their best shot. Hence why I said in the beginning of the episode, they're all over Facebook as, is this a rattlesnake? Because they're pretending to be.
Yeah, they also, on top of the tail rattling and flattening out their head, as far as I know, they're the only non-venomous snake that I've seen that will do the perfect rattlesnake S, like, where they come up and the top part of their body's in the shape of an S, like they're getting ready to strike. I've seen so many bull snakes, gopher snakes, all of them just, like, perfectly mimic that on top of the hissing with the tail rattling and flattening out their heads and everything to make them look so much identical to rattlesnakes sometimes.
Yeah, they really give it their all trying to become, try to pretend to be rattlesnakes when they're threatened. When they're not threatened, they don't matter. But, yeah
they're very dramatic.
Cool. Yeah, they're very dramatic snakes, so they don't get a lot of love in captivity, mostly because that they are scary snakes. Like, that modified epiglottis, they put it to use. They really, they let you know. They're very vocal, and that's scary. So even if they are not striking at you, they're probably going to hiss at you every single time you try to touch them, for the most part. There's definitely some chill ones out there. I have encountered chill ones in the wild even, but they like to let that be known, and that's really intimidating to a lot of keepers. So not a whole lot of love for them in captivity. I wish there was more, because they are really cool. We were talking in the pre-show, and some of the Mexican species are really underrated, as pretty much all reptiles from Mexico are, really. Mexico, man, they come through with some good ones, and they don't miss on Pituophis either.
No, they definitely don't. I mean, they had the Cape Pituophis, like, vibrant, almost orange, and, like, yellows with the black saddles, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. They're not huge in captivity. You will see them. The main ones you see in captivity tend to be the bull snakes, or the gophers. You don't really see a ton of pine snakes.
I don't either. I think some of it too comes from where we live. They're not exotic, and a lot of things that aren't exotic aren't cool. You know, a lot of people don't want what's in their backyard.
Well, then they're not. A lot of them aren't
friendly.
They're not. Yeah, they're not ball pythons. They don't give you that. This can sit in my lap all day. Some Pituophis, I've seen people who have had them, the same snake, for years and years and years. Snakes never struck at them. Anytime they touch it, though, it is hissing like it's gonna kill you. But the snake's never going to do anything. It's never done anything its entire life. It just hisses. And that scares the crap out of a lot of people. Because, like, when we say their hiss is bad, there was times where, when I had mine, that she was, if you walked past the tank, she was letting you know that she was there. She would hiss as loud as she possibly could. So there's times where I'd been in a completely different room, someone walked past the tank, and I could hear her from the other room and known that she was hissing because it's so dang loud.
Yeah, they're pretty... They're, like I said, they're scary. They, you know, they do everything they can to try to be scary, but they're not actually scary. Even big one is not going to hurt you, even if it really wants to. If it bites you, it's still not going to be bad. Not at all. These things aren't... They pretend to be tough, but they're not. They're nothing to be scared of. They'll want you to be, but they're not.
And
they're also surprisingly big in general.
Yeah.
Of course, every species is a little different. They always shock me when you see a big adult of any of them, even these Sonoran gopher snakes, which you would think would be smaller. You'd think the rattlesnakes would be clearly bigger, but then you think about it for a second, and the rattlesnake mimics, of course, they're going to be about, an adult will be about the same size as an adult Western Diamondback rattlesnake. So they'll be all of, you know, 5 feet. And
yeah,
some
the
of
gophers.
Them, yeah, some of them get big, like some of these other species, I think over 7.
Yeah, I think I've, bull snakes, normally it's, I've seen an average of like 5 to 7 feet, but I've seen bull snakes get like 9, 10 plus. And that is a big colubrid. I mean, that's getting into freaking, what's it called? Prebo size or indigo size snakes.
Yeah, I mean,
which for colubrids, those are the.
Says specimens of up to 8'4" have been recorded, but who knows what Google actually says compared to what's real.
Yeah, we were talking about the one guy out, in California, and he caught one, and he measured her out, and she was over 9 foot.
Yeah, that thing's huge.
Yeah, so I mean,
I don't recall what species it was, but or ended up being.
Either. I knew he did genetic testing, but never saw it.
I would bet on hybrid of sorts.
Oh yeah.
Like I was saying, well. I would bet it is a pure, in air quotes, catenifer, but a hybrid between subspecies. That's my official one.
Which, another thing with the subspecies and everything, when bull snakes and gophers and stuff, a lot of times there's even, like, bull snakes and gophers, a lot of times the names almost... They're changeable between bull and gopher because they're the exact same species, but they're a different subspecies, but one's a gopher snake and one's a bull snake. Their taxonomy is so confusing to me.
Yeah, and again, another point, why common names are not always trustable. I know for sure my grandpa used to, when he would work in the middle of nowhere up in Utah, they get blow snakes near there. And they got that common name because of that hissing sound. They blow air.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a pituophis of sorts. I don't know exactly what kind off the top of my head. Like I said, I'm not ultra knowledgeable on these things. But, yeah, so common names mean nothing necessarily. They get you in the right direction, but... You wouldn't necessarily be wrong to call a Sonoran gopher snake a bull snake, but at the same time, you're not right. So if you can use scientific names, always do. Because really, especially when you're dealing with things with subspecies, man, species complexes, disasters. Always, every time.
Especially with so many subspecies.
Yeah.
So I will say one other thing that's kind of cool with these guys that I've noticed, even when they're up, like the northern bull snakes, when they're up towards the north, you don't really find these in deciduous forests or in the mountains or anything like that. These Ichwofish are the kind of snake that most of the time you're finding them in your pine barrens or your pine savannas or where it's sandy soil, and like kind of savannas or more open-ish woods, and a lot of times like a lot of grasses and things like that. Like in North Carolina, you'd find them towards the coast where all of our pine savannas and things like that are. Which I've always thought that's kind of interesting, that even though they are native to all the way up to Canada, as far as I know, the majority of their habitat is just sandy soil that is like some type of savanna or not heavily treed
Yeah, I mean,
environment.
exactly why they're so common down here. It's all, not all, but huge amount of where I live is just pretty open, not a
Oh yeah,
huge
even like the Florida
area.
ones too.
Yeah,
It's
same thing in
all
Florida too.
meadow
Florida's pretty
things.
open.
Yeah.
But yeah, these snakes, not too crazy, really. They're just underrated. Like,
They are crazy to watch eat, though. They call them the trash cans of the colubrid world for a reason.
yeah, then I've never worked with them in captivity really, but I have heard tales that of people who have had them having other animals not eat, and they just throw it in that tank, and of course it
Oh yeah,
eats.
the Pituophis is almost always going to eat, and on top of that, they are aggressive about how they eat. And I've seen videos and stuff. Mine wasn't like this, but I've seen videos of bull snakes who would grab a frozen thawed rat or mouse or something like that, and they violently shake, like banging this thing against the rocks in the enclosure and the walls of the enclosure and stuff. Like they are actively trying to kill it. Like they don't really do the constricting as much. They do a bit. Like I've seen them do it very well too, but it seemed like they more like just so aggressive about it. It's crazy, and they will. I mean, they'll chase down a full grown rabbit. I've seen them do it on videos. Especially the larger
But yeah, that's,
species.
yeah. But you did kind of bring up a good point, actually. They're mostly diurnal snakes, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So they'll be out during the day when you're out. So if you want a pet snake that's like that, then go for it. Like, they're good ones. But they're also opportunistic. Like, at night in the desert here, you can't really move during the day in the summertime. It's just too hot. So they come out at night here a lot. But they are largely diurnal, a lot of them are. So you can have them out and you'll be out too, so you actually get to see your snakes, which is very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend these as like a beginner snake because like we've talked about, they tend to be a little more make people a little more skittish. Like they are not very skittish at all, but they make their owners skittish because of the loud hissing and the mock striking and things like that that sometimes occurs. But I would almost label these as kind of like more intermediate. So like not, I wouldn't say beginner, but I wouldn't say you need to be fully intermediate. I'd kind of call these like a in the middle between those two.
Yeah, pretty much what I would say is get your flinching out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, once you're not scared and flinching all the time when snakes hiss at you or throw up a defensive posture, now that's when you're good. Like, for me, I would probably handle these snakes mostly until I learned the individual. If, like, let's say I got an adult, right, just now, just gifted to me, I'd probably handle it with a snake hook for a while just because I don't want to get bit. I don't enjoy getting bitten by snakes. And I want to learn just how jumpy the snake is. But if I didn't have a hook on hand, I know how to not flinch or not fall for their little tricks of just hissing at me, and it's not scary. Because if you go in with fear and you start being all flinchy, then they start to get flinchy too. And then that's when you get bit, really. If you go in with confidence, a lot of times nothing happens. And that takes just time of handling animals and snakes to get rid of.
Yeah, no, it does. And I mean, I will say one of the best snakes that I have had that's helped me with, like, that I've worked with and stuff that's helped me with my flinching and stuff. And it's so dumb because they're so small. At my current job, we have two black rat snakes that are younger ones. One is a rusty morph and the other one's a wild caught snake that someone brought in from the park. And not the one, ironically, the one that we bought from a store has the most attitude I have ever met out of a black snake or a black rat snake. And but it's same thing as like a bull snake, no hit, but minus the hissing, but they do the tail rattle and they definitely posture and they will strike and bite it. She's gotten me once or twice, but it definitely helps with the flinching, getting something like that. And it's, I feel like the bull snakes with that added thing of the hissing, it really would be too much to like start with a, oh, let me get away from my flinching with that, because it's going to make you more nervous. But get yourself a little rat snake, or I mean, obviously get something you have interest in. Don't buy something just for this specific reason, but some other little colubrid that doesn't have that hissing like the bull snakes do. And like Shaw said, get over your flinching. Understand that you can go in there with confidence. This thing, even if it tags you, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to kill you. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt, because it can't hurt, but it's not going to kill you.
No, you're fine. You'll get over it. It's like that picture that makes its rounds every so often, showing a cat bite versus like an 11-foot carpet python bite. Like, the cat is worse. So much worse than like a carpet python bite.
I can compare a snake bite to, for me personally, is like if you take the rough side of Velcro and just scrape it on your skin.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good for smaller snakes, yeah. But
yeah, I mean,
like we always say, we don't necessarily believe in beginner, intermediate, advanced animals. We more talk about like how much care are you willing to put in and how quickly can things go wrong. And with these ones, the reason, if you love them, get one. Totally cool. But the reason I wouldn't recommend this to somebody who's just starting out or is their very first snake is because they are scary. You know, their whole thing, all of their evolution is designed to be scary. They want to look like the deadliest snakes in town. They want to be look bigger. They want to be louder than everybody. That's what they want to do. And that's not ideal for somebody who's not ultra comfortable with working with snakes yet. A lot of people who are getting their first snake are younger people, and they're living with their parents as well. Parents, you know, your mom's probably, who's a little reluctant to let you have a snake already, probably doesn't want this big snake that's hissing and freaking out for the first one too. Yeah. Not that they're bad, but it's nice to know what you're doing a little bit first.
Yeah, and one other thing that I forgot to mention about these, that's different in a lot of colubrids too, is they have very keeled scales, so they're very textured snakes. So instead of like a corn snake or a rat snake or something where you grab it and it's like almost silky smooth, these guys, you can feel their scales and it's rough. Not like it's not going to scrape you or hurt or anything like that, but they definitely have more texture to them than your like corns and rat snakes and things like that.
Yeah, they feel closer to like a hognose snake, if you ever touch one of those. Yeah. A little less intense, at least the ones near me, a little less keeled than like a rattlesnake, but similar. Like if you kind of want to know what a rattlesnake feels like, go grab a gopher snake. They're fairly close.
Yeah, I would say that. About the same here, is like less keeled than a rattlesnake, because we have the big easterns here and timbers, so those ones have some keeled scales.
Yeah, easterns have some crazy keeled scales.
Yeah, which those are pretty rare here, but the timbers too.
Yeah. Have you ever held or safely touched a rattlesnake before?
No, I have not. There's not, unlike in Arizona, sadly. There's really not a lot of, like, venomous snake training here or anything like that where you could actually do that kind of stuff. I think there's like one or two places that do it, and they're towards the coast, and it's normally like either for firefighters. It's really mostly for like firefighters or people who are actively going out every single day dealing with these snakes. But in North Carolina, there's really not a lot of training for them.
Yeah, I wish it was easier to track that stuff down. But yeah, gopher snakes do feel more similar to rattlesnakes if that's something you're interested in wondering. Because I definitely did for a long time. I wondered what a lot of those venomous snakes felt like, and I still do. Like, I wanna feel what a king cobra feels like, but I want to go about it safely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to know what a rattlesnake feels like, have a pituophis over a rattlesnake, because if pituophis bites you, it's not that big of a deal. If a rattlesnake bites you, you're going to the hospital, and it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Please handle snakes responsibly. All right. Let's see. Do we have any closing notes on these things? Because a little shorter episode, but nothing too crazy. Like, these guys, like we were saying, they're just kind of underrated. Like, nobody talks about them. It's not that they necessarily are stand out in any way. They're just not talked about, and they're really cool.
The only thing I would say for like closing stuff is that, again, these guys, super cool, underrated snakes. They're super varied in color and things like that. Like, if y'all are still listening to this at this point, the background that we've had for this entire episode in my in the thumbnail on YouTube, sadly, Spotify and stuff won't see this, but if you're on YouTube, you can see the thumbnail and the background that we have in the top. That's a northern pine snake. The top right is a locality, which is that. Before I get into that, locality means basically this snake is found in a specific area, and this coloration and stuff is found in a specific area of the U.S. Like, this one's a Kingsville red bull snake, which means they're found in Kingsville, Texas, and they have that more red color. Bottom left, that's a black pine snake, same species that I had. And then over to the bottom right is a Sonoran gopher. I know it's a gopher. I don't fully remember if it's a Sonoran or if it was a different one, but I know it's a gopher.
Yeah, it looks like a Sonoran gopher to me.
I was pretty sure it was. Yeah. And then, but great. Again, very varied, very wide range of colors and patterns and things like that. I mean, mostly similar patterns, but very wide range in colors. Also, another thing about them that tends to put people off, like, you can really see it on the gopher in the background. They tend to look angry. Like, their little faces look so mad all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're just scary. They're not actually like, that's it. They're like a Halloween decoration, you know. They're scary, but they're not going to do anything.
They do everything in their power to look terrifying, even though they are a wet noodle.
Yeah. Really, they're just high strung. That's what they are.
Yeah.
They're not dumb. But yeah, I thought this was a good one. Again, I hope more people get into these things because they're cool. I'd like to see more captive bred ones of all these different species. Just because they're native doesn't mean they're not cool. A lot of people get excited about exotic stuff, but they're cool. It doesn't mean native isn't cool.
I personally think some of our native colubrids and things like that are some of the coolest snakes that you could keep. And like you said, they're underrated because they are native. People just go, oh, it's in my backyard. I don't care. It's not out there wild and exotic. It's like, well, no, it's still, they're a lot cooler than some of the exotic stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, really, if you're looking at geographically, a lot of the Mexican species of reptiles that we don't have in the U.S. are geographically closer to me than some of these pituophis that are from like Florida or up in the East Coast anywhere than they are. But we think about it differently because of the country borders. So it's like, oh no, that's a native species, even though it's more exotic to me as far as like geographical location than the other ones. So but all right, I think that puts a good close on things on these guys. Quick recap: these are pine snakes, bull snakes, gopher snakes, blow snakes. People call them all sorts of things, but you know what we're talking about by all those, hopefully. Because everybody has different words, but everyone knows them at some point if you're in North America. They're very, very common. That modified glottis from them, epiglottis, sorry, misspoke on that one, gives them that blow snake name, some people call them. They hiss very, very loud, but they're more bark than bite, so kind of makes them scary for people to keep as a captive, like as a pet, but they're still cool and not a bad pet at all.
No, they're actually really good pets. But hope y'all enjoyed the episode. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast places, as well. We're on TikTok and Instagram, which there will also be a post for this episode on Instagram. We're going to start doing that every week when we post a new episode. There'll be a post on Instagram. But hope y'all enjoyed, and we'll see y'all next week.